Hi, welcome to the newest edition of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I say newest edition because it's a live reaction show. It's the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You're with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. The Seahawks just lost on Monday Night Football to the Bears by a score of 24 to 17. Sorry, and I mean we can start in a little bit, but first, what a bad game.
It was not a good game.
No.
Not a good game.
I would not put it in the category of good games.
Football.
No. Before we get into it, it's quick intro. My name is Grant Goldberg. I'm the co-host of this podcast, and I do social media work online. And Spike is a writer with The Stranger, but mostly we're Seahawks fans who were largely disappointed, even with jaded expectations for this game, mainly due to how, I mean, you said it before we got on the air, how inept this team looked for a large portion of this game.
Yeah, I mean, the offense was hideous tonight. They were just truly, truly hideous. I think a lot of it comes down to Schottenheimer more than anything. I mean,
yes.
8 drives, 80 yards to start the game. Really struggled to mix up his play calling. Really struggled to come up with designs that bought Russ time. We saw the same mistakes we saw against Denver, where when he was trying to move the pocket, it was consistently rolling deep towards Jermaine Ifedi against a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Like, it's just that lack of awareness. It's shameful. Like, and the, you know, it's going to get papered over by those last 14 points, but for me, that's a shameful performance from Brian Schottenheimer on the whole.
And, you know, a large part of Russell Wilson's effectiveness tonight came in the fourth quarter when he was operating with more of a sense of urgency, and they were operating in that kind of, you know, no huddle offense style of play. And I think that even more so just shows the detriment of having Brian Schottenheimer call your plays, just from a standpoint of looking at, okay, this is when you take a huddle and get to call a play and see what you draw up. You call a timeout and drop a play to throw a pass to the running back on the sideline, gets picked off, goes to the house. That's on Russell for staring down his first read, no doubt. But, you know, it's also a product of Brian Schottenheimer. And this hire, it's 2 weeks into the season, but, you know, we had these feelings in January when it happened that it's inconceivable to hire a guy like Schottenheimer in 2018 when he's had his track record as a coordinator. You hire him as a positions coach. No, that can work. You hire him as a quarterback's coach. That can work. You've seen it happen. But we've seen him in far too many places just sputter out and look uninspiring as a play caller.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many issues on the offensive side of the ball from this game. But, you know, before we dive all the way in, I'll say that the defense played better than I expected they would. I mean, if you look at the stats for this game, and I'm going to run through some of them right now, Seahawks and Bears, it didn't feel this way, right? Like, because it felt like the Bears should have been up 30 points or something at the third quarter. But the stats ended up being really even across the board. 10 passing first downs to 11 Seahawks to Bears, 6 rushing to 7 rushing to the Bears. You're talking 276 total yards for the Seahawks, 271 for the Bears, 4.3 yards per play for both teams, 2 turnovers for both teams. Time of possession was 25-36 to 34-24. 5 penalties for the Seahawks, 7 for the Bears, 2-for-2 red zone for the Seahawks, 2-for-3 for the Bears. So you're talking about a relatively even game. Obviously, the sacks were pretty different. 6 for the Bears, 2 for the Seahawks. But it ended up being pretty even, which I think is a testament to, and I can't believe I'm saying this after a game that was that hideous, but to what Pete Carroll can do as a personnel developer. There were a lot of young guys on the field. And there were, look, mistakes were made on the defensive side of the ball. But, like, man, like, you know, the defense gave up 17 points. There was a pick six, but, like, 17 points ain't bad against a functional Bears offense, a tricky Bears offense, as we talked about. Kids look pretty good on the whole. Pass rush got home enough. It was a little bit better. There was some issues with loss contain, but like that's going to happen when you don't have either Wright or Wagner. But it wasn't egregious. There weren't like big games for anybody. Shaq obviously had two picks, kept Allen Robinson relatively in check. We said that was one of the big matchups of the game. Robinson had 10 receptions for 83 yards on 14 targets with a long of 14. So no explosive passes to Allen Robinson. He was consistently getting the ball, but when they tried to go deep, Shaq picked him twice. So that's pretty good. No one else had more than 33 receiving yards. So credit where credit is due to a young and beat up Seahawks defense. Credit to Pete Carroll and Ken Norton for getting that team ready to make this a respectable game. No credit to Brian Schottenheimer, regardless of the final score.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of it you can attribute to Shaq Griffin keeping the lid on top of the defense. And the linebackers, like I said, coming into the game, they had a big task with Cohen and Howard, and they played really well covering
the run. They did totally fine, yeah. Cohen, four rushes for 8 yards and one reception for 17 yards.
And like, and Howard had 14 carries for 35 yards. So hats off to Austin Kolitro. Michael Kendricks had himself a game. And
Bradley McDougald, 8 tackles. Again, when you talk about not giving up explosives, huge, huge. And again, I mean, Michael Dixon had one bad punt, and, you know, I'd prefer that that be wiped from history. But he had 6 great punts, and the punt coverage team wasn't great. Whatever. We don't need to dive too deep into Michael Dixon being pretty good and not world-beating. He was better than pretty good. He was quite good. But all I'm going to say is this defense did what they had to do to win this game.
Exactly.
They were let down by the offense. Let down across the board.
You could sense that after the Lockett touchdown and the Dixon drop kick off the kickoff, which was phenomenal, by the way.
Yeah, pinned them at the 15. Pinned them at the 15.
You pin them on a kickoff. That's inconceivable. But you could sense there was a momentum shift. And the team was moving the ball down the field. They got 1 or 2 first downs after that, and then the timeout happened. And then so they come out of the timeout with no rhythm, and so it allows the Bears defense to regroup, and it allows the Bears defense to capitalize off, you know, a bad throw by Russell Wilson, a bad play call by Brian Schottenheimer, and ultimately, you know, Schottenheimer is what, well, and you know, chalk it up to offensive line play too, and Russell's decision making early on, you know, that's what kept them out of the game. They were a pick six away from legitimately winning this game. It's crazy to say because it felt like 7-0 at one point, or even 10-0 was an insurmountable lead. And we sort of saw that Russell Wilson in the fourth quarter that we're used to seeing, and then the timeout happened, and then it just went downhill from there.
Yeah, let's take a quick break. Yeah. We're going to come back. We're going to talk goats and heroes for this game, because I think, I mean, there's obviously more goats than heroes in a loss as ugly as this one. But again, it ends up being 7 points. Seahawks play, a bunch of guys did step up and look good amongst the young guys. So we're going to break it all down. We'll be back right after this. Locked On Seahawks podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, did you take my advice from last podcast and take the points with the Bears? Take the points, baby. By take the points, I mean lay the points. Bears are 3.5-point favorites. I said lay the points. And if you did it on my bookie, you just made money. Even though the Seahawks lost, you made money. You could have laid down some cash and won big. And my bookie is great because you can trust them. They're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They pay out reliably. They have great online reviews. Their mobile site is easy to use. They have in-game betting. Look, I'm only going to recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me and Grant, but mostly me. I don't think Grant gambles online the way I do. I don't gamble that much. Look, it's not important. What is important is MyBookie is a great place to do it. So many options, especially with the live in-game betting. You can turn a terrible Seahawks game into a great opportunity to bet against Brian Schottenheimer. And if you join now and use the promo code LOCKEDON25 and you deposit $100 after 4 p.m. Eastern. You got to do it late. You can, boom, get an extra $25 on your $100 deposit. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.
Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. This is the instant reaction show to the Bears beating the Seahawks by a score of 24-17 in what was a really ugly game from the Seahawks that they somehow were able to still be competitive in. And so we're going to talk goats and heroes, and not the good sense of a goat when you're talking about sports. And so,
or a stew.
Yeah.
Or a birra. Birria? How do you pronounce it? Like a Spanish goat stew? So good. So good, guys. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the goats in the game. Boy. People are here for my international cuisine talk, right? Right, Grant?
Hey, if we can take the subject off of what we just watched, I'm sure everybody will be there for that. But, yeah, we're going to talk. You know, I want to talk about the defense a little more, because they're the driving force in keeping Seattle in this game. And a guy that really didn't have his number called a whole ton was Akeem King. And you talked about guys stepping up. You didn't really.
So, wait, is this a hero or a goat?
This is a hero.
Okay, hero. Great.
You start off almost as a hero, being thrown into the fire, having injuries with Trey Flowers, and so you step up off of the practice squad, and you don't really hear his name a lot during the night, which is generally good for a cornerback. He would have had an interception if not for Justin Coleman knocking the ball down at the goal line, but that's neither here nor there. And he had 6 tackles as well. And so he definitely helped keep the lid on the defense, keep everything in front of them. So I'm just going to say he's one of the reasons why Seattle was in this game.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It was very nerve-wracking to see King starting. I mean, King, he flashed a little bit this preseason, both good and bad. It felt like the sort of start where he was going to make some plays but then get beat deep at least once. He did get beat for a touchdown, but it was on an out. It was a really well-designed play by Nagy. The pass rush just didn't get there, didn't help him out. Not much he can do there. I thought overall, I think you're right, he played really well, stepped up. They kept talking about how we were down starter Trey Flowers, and I'm like, well, I mean, he's only been our starter for 1 week. Like, at this point, we are deep into finding anybody capable of playing cornerback.
Right. And so when you have that kind of lack of pass rush, and it got home a little bit more tonight than against the Broncos, you're gonna have to cover for longer amounts of time. And so for King to have the performance that he did have, you know, that bodes well for his spot on the team going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he was called up off the practice squad when Johnson got hurt, and I think he's here to stay, for sure.
All right, now Spike, do you have a hero or a goat coming up?
Let's go. Let's keep it to the heroes right now. Who is gonna be my hero? Which rookie fourth or fifth rounder is gonna be? Let's go Will Dissly. Nick Vanette, a couple drops tonight, didn't look great again. Dissly got involved late, scores another touchdown, already has more touchdowns than Jimmy Graham had in 2015. Dissly continues to look the part of a really solid, versatile tight end, the sort of guy you can rely on to block and catch. You know, he's not maybe the prototype of like a Trey Burton Swiss Army knife type player, but he's just really good. He's really solid and he's young, and we saw him get his today. And it took a while for him to get on track in the passing game, but he got his, and he helped out in the block. I mean, like, again, like the play designs, rolling Russell towards Ifedi was just so beyond infuriating. But when they were chipping with the tight end or running back, it was working. I'm gonna shout out Dissly one more time. I think we got something there. And as much as this year is about winning games, I think when you go 0-2, especially in the soft part of your schedule, you got to think about who's going to be on this roster the next time the team is good. When you've got a quarterback of Wilson's caliber, regardless of the fact that he's not playing great right now and he deserves some of the blame for what's happening, I still think the infrastructure around him is more to blame right now. But when you've got a quarterback with Wilson's ceiling, I'll say that, you were always 1 year away from contending, and Disley could be a big part of a good team next year.
Yeah, he looks – the biggest thing that stands out to me is how fluid he looks with the ball in his hands.
Yep.
Again, this week, defenders just seem to bounce off of him, and he just moves his feet so well. Now, we talked about how he has a little bit more work to do route running wise, but we also made the point where he's a rookie who's primarily, you know, he has the tag as a blocking tight end. And so that's going to come with time, obviously, but when you get the ball in his hands and he's open, even if he catches the ball and someone's close to him, there's a good chance that he's not going to be brought down. And that's something, you know, quite frankly, that we didn't have with Jimmy Graham, which was disappointing, because when Graham got the ball in his hands, yeah, he'd catch it, he'd go up for a ball, but the ball wasn't advancing from that point on. And so with Disley, you have the potential for, you know, the yards through the air and then yards on the ground. So I think he's the versatile piece at tight end that maybe the Seahawks could have benefited from having, you know, not even last year, but the year before too.
Yep, totally agree. Totally agree. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to just lay into the goats. We're going to get to the goat conversation because there's a lot of goat stew to be doled out. We're going to save the goats for last. We'll be back right after this. Locked On Seahawks, Locked On Podcast Network. Is it crazy how much new clothes cost? It's crazy. Why are we going to buy new kids' clothes if they're going to just outgrow them in a few months? Do you have kids? I don't. Grant might. I don't know. Grant, do you have kids?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. Well, hypothetically, if you did, or Grant, do you like to look good?
Of course. I'd always like to look
good.
Yeah,
there we go. So wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? There is. Grant, swap.com. It's the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. The world's largest. You can stop going to the store. You don't need to go to a thrift store. You don't need to go to a Salvation Army or some sort of Goodwill situation. You don't need to go there. And that can get gross. Let me tell you, the Goodwill doesn't wash their clothes before they put them out, which don't even think about that, but it's true. Anyway, you can easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com. That's way more than you can shop at in any thrift store. You got easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. 14 million tons of textiles are wasted every year. Shopping at swap.com prevents textile waste. You're helping the environment. You can feel good about it. Swap.com will save you 90% off retail price. And you got all your favorite brands. You got Lululemon. You got Carter's. You got Nike. You got J. Crew. You got Gap. Grant, which of those is your favorite brand?
Let's give a quick shout out to Nike.
It was going to be Nike. I knew it the whole way. You're talking about quality hand-inspected items that are added daily. Again, not like if you live in Seattle, you know the big like Goodwill I'm talking about where they shot the Macklemore thrift store video and there are all these big bins. It's gross in there. Don't do that. Go to swap.com. They're hand-inspecting it instead. And if something doesn't fit, hassle-free returns. You got 30 days. So this is all great. But what's even greater? A special offer for our listeners. 35% off select items. You got 90% off, then you got 35% off. You're basically stealing Nikes. Your first order, promo code, locked on, swap.com. Find new deals every day, swap.com, locked on, swap.com.
We are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. We are still processing this Seattle Seahawks loss to the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football, 24-17, and we're gonna put the blame on some people right now. We're gonna talk about the goats of the game, and not the good goats, the bad goats. We talked largely about Brian Schottenheimer. I think he's the biggest factor in the loss tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the theme throughout the season. But we'll key in on maybe some players or other members of the coaching staff even for this loss. Spike, I'll hand it to you first. Who's the first goat?
I'm a man. I feel bad to do this, but Rashaad Penny, just what are we doing? What is this life where we picked a medium running back in the first round and we're forcing him to be Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt in our offense, and he's showing none of that. None of the quickness that those guys have, none of the hands, none of the physicality. We don't have the offensive play designs to use him in that way to really maximize a running back from the passing game. It doesn't work. I mean, look, 10 rushes for 30 yards. He's targeted 2 times, no catches, one of which was a nasty drop. The other was a pick 6 the other way. That's terrible. That's a terrible use of 12 snaps on a guy who we use a first-round pick on.
Yeah.
And I said, I didn't like the first round pick. If you assume that he is a generational talent, which I refuse to assume he was because none of the scouting reports said he's a generational talent, there's one generational running back in this class. We can already see in New York that that's not going to get it done if the rest of the team isn't there. The rest of the Seahawks team isn't there. The ecosystem is not there to just plug in a great running back. Penny isn't even a great running back. I don't know what happened to Chris Carson. In the second half of that game, he sort of vanished. I mean, he was averaging 4 yards per carry instead of 3, which is a little better, I guess. Mike Davis, 3 rushes for 3 yards, 1 target for negative 1 yards. I mean, the play designs aren't there to get these running backs going. The running backs themselves don't look great, except for Carson, who had a couple nice broken tackles, but then he gets relegated to the bench for reasons I don't understand. I don't care for Rashaad Penny. I think he represents more than he is a bad player. Like, he represents a very bad decision. So I'm not inclined to like him, but his performances aren't what we need right now.
Yeah, and this is probably unfair of me to do. And I feel bad doing this given that he has such a large impact on the other side of the ball. But yeah. Pete Carroll has to do better on offense. Whether that be hiring a better offensive coordinator, drafting a player they could better use on offense, because I'm not going to say a better player, because I'm sure Penny's going to turn out to be a fine player, but your resources can be better used than that. And so we saw a reflection of Pete Carroll's offensive strategy tonight. Putting your faith in Brian Schottenheimer is one thing to do. Completely benching your most dynamic playmaker outside of Russell Wilson for the whole second half is another thing to do. It frustrated me watching this game, knowing that it could have been in somebody else's hands calling the plays, but the Seahawks, quite frankly, made a rushed hire when they hired Schottenheimer. They would have been better off keeping Bevel. And I know I was pretty even about the move, because while Daryl Bevel,
or hire DeFilippo, man, there, right. go to Oklahoma and just pay the man.
Here's the thing, because you know Bevel wasn't the most exciting coordinator, but he'd get it done, and he wouldn't be so obvious sometimes. Schottenheimer, you just know is bad. You tweeted out the article that Bob Condotta wrote. And there's the excerpt in there where he's like, well, you know, I'm bad, but, you know, it's who I am, so I'm not going to change. And they hired that person to call their plays with arguably the most dynamic player at the quarterback position in the NFL. It's mind-boggling. I don't know why they didn't throw money out of DeFilippo or any type of young guy. Just take a risk with that, and don't just make such a plain vanilla, you know, ass backwards hire in Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah. Do you have a goat that isn't Schottenheimer? You made me do a goat that wasn't Schottenheimer. Are you gonna just make yours be Schottenheimer?
It's transitively Pete Carroll.
Oh, you're still talking Penny? Oh, Pete Carroll. Got it. Okay.
Right, so it's
real. I guess both of our goats in Penny and Carroll are really just Schottenheimer goats, but they are. It's a whole institution around
it's the Brian Schottenheimer.
We've got an update. Apparently, Chris Carson was gassed down the stretch, which is why they went with Penny.
I was gonna say It's the Brian Schottenheimer blame forever pyramid.
Justin Britt hurt on the fumble that Wilson lost. It was the 53rd play of the game, which is Brian Schottenheimer's secret number of plays the Seahawks need to win every game. It's 53. 53rd play of this game was the game-sealing fumble, and it got Justin Britt's arm injured, so now we have Joey Hunt at center for the foreseeable future. So that's good. That's good.
Things are coming out good for the Seahawks. Yeah.
No, but, well, you know what? You know who I think is bad?
Let's hear it.
The Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I know they won this week, but I think that we're coming home, and even as pessimistic as I've been about this team this year, I think we're going to do some damage at home against the Dallas Cowboys this week. So I want to leave on a positive note, which is we got some young guys playing. We talked about them. We didn't even have to talk about Michael Dixon. He shanked one punt. The rest of the punts were great. Like, classic Dixon. What are you going to do? But I think that we beat the Cowboys this week. I think that we do it.
Yeah, they definitely gave themselves an opportunity to rebound. But there were seeds of hope in that fourth quarter. I'll give the team that they can drive down the field. Russell Wilson can hit on his wide receivers. He can involve the tight end and Will Disley. And you're going up against a pretty one-dimensional Dallas Cowboys offense. And so you have seeds of hope for this game. You know me. I'm the optimist. I'm going to have to see it on the field before I can believe it this week. Maybe it's the fact that I just watched a Brian Schottenheimer called game for 2.5-3 hours. And maybe I'll come back in a better mood on the next show. But, you know, I'd like to see them take the field and really be assertive and drive down the field and get on the board first against the Cowboys to make me a believer in week 3.
I think we're 31 weeks since the Seahawks' last opening drive touchdown, so.
And you know what? They set themselves up to do it with the guy I'm not going to name for the rest of the show calling the plays.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Oh, boy. Okay, well, this is fun. You know what? You know what's going to be fun is checking out the PFF stats on this game. Can't wait for us to drop those on you over the next couple of days. We've got a great crossover episode coming up with Locked On Cowboys. There's great college football podcasts if you want to hear about some team that's better than the Seahawks. I'm sure that there's plenty of those out there in college. I'm not a big college football fan these days, but I'm sure almost all the teams are better than the Seahawks. So go out there, listen to those on the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On NFL is great. Listen to podcasting about good football teams, not the Seahawks. Grant, what do you got? Buy stuff at swap.com? Oh, my God, do that. Jesus Christ, don't go to the Goodwill.
Don't go to the Goodwill. I just sat here after and just had my mind blown at that fact. But, yeah, if you're buying stuff at the Goodwill, definitely change that up. Go to swap.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and get 35%. We've had promo codes on this show. That by far might be the best promo code that they've had in terms of percentage wise. So definitely take advantage of that and reach out to us. Let us know how you feel about the game. Vent to us. I'm sure we share a lot of the same feelings. And yeah, thank you guys for listening to the show. I know it was a little bit of a downer, but you know, it's a product of what we just watched on the field. So hopefully in week 3 against the Cowboys at home, the Seahawks can turn it around. So in hope of that, for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.